listening to CJSF Radio, Simon Fraser, 90.1 FM.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby. And you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, professional engineer, professional futurist, and sometimes occasional sessional instructor of future studies at Simon Fraser University. And this is a weekly show that looks at future trends and issues and important items that affect your daily life and will be affecting your life into the future. Welcome to the show. We're continuing our look at the book, The Purpose Effect, Building Meaning in Yourself, Your Role, and Your Organization by Dan Pontefract. We were looking at the chapter, Sweet Spot Guidance. While it is true that the commitments support the organization's values and attributes, they are also the basis for its various customer service feedback practices. Each quarter, TELUS surveys customers in the consumer, enterprise, and health segments, asking key questions that map back to its declaration, strategic intent, values, attributes, and commitments. An overall score is assigned, called likelihood to recommend, and documented on the company's corporate scorecard. It is an example of alignment between putting customers first and measuring progress and satisfaction. Any organization intent on bringing added worth to its customers should align team members' objectives to its customers' first mission. The hardwiring of accountabilities, be it individually or team-based, for putting customers first should be embedded in each team member's way of operating going forward. It is this sort of alignment that ensures the customers will, in fact, be delighted and delivered value. A failure to align can lead to many of the issues that we discussed in previous chapters. Guiding tip: creating an engaging workplace and being ethical. Regardless of your role at your work, ask yourself this question: am I part of the organization or work for, or am I apart from it? When I'm working with team members on various aspects of culture, engagement, or collaboration practices, I invariably ask the question. More often than not, the answer is quick. I am a part of it, they respond. Various data points suggest a large swath of individuals are actually apart from the organization they work for. There are a few guiding tips to surface between engagement practices and instituting an ethical workplace that can help shift this predicament and support team members to achieve a purpose mindset in their role. Direct face time with your manager is another tip to help create an engaged workplace. A study from the management consulting firm Leadership IQ suggested team members who spend approximately 6 hours per week with their direct supervisor are far more likely to deliver results and become engaged than those who do not. The research indicates individuals are 29% more inspired, 16% more innovative, and 15% more intrinsically motivated and 30% more engaged at work when spending at least 6 hours per week with their manager. Unfortunately, the data also suggests that leaders are currently spending 3 hours or less per week interacting with their team members. In fact, 20% spend only 1 hour per week working alongside their direct leader. In a column, Sir Richard Branson wrote on his company's website, he stated, "We give our people real autonomy and celebrate their achievements by identifying star contributors, highlighting brand ambassadors in our internal newsletters, and hosting parties for individual employees. Recognition is another critical lever to improve the delivery of results and engagement. Implementing sound recognition practice will also help team members reach their purpose mindset in their roles." As Josh Burson, principal at Burson by Deloitte, pointed out, quote, "We found that high recognition companies have 31% lower voluntary turnover than companies with poor recognition cultures. It literally pays to introduce and inculcate a culture of recognition. For the giver of recognition, as Paul Zak, neuroscientist at Claremont University, informed us, the hormone oxytocin is released, which creates joy and happiness in ourselves. Another piece of guidance deals with flexible work. If a team member is expected to contribute, the question to ask is whether the work can be performed from anywhere. If it can, let the work be performed from anywhere. There are many roles where team members are required to be on site. Hairstylists, painters, construction workers, restaurant cooks, etc. But there are many more where the work can be performed from home or in other mobile situations. By recognizing that team members can work from anywhere, an organization is far more likely to become purposeful. This has been proven to lead to increased engagement. Not only that, the organization is building up trust with the team member to do what is right from wherever, as it continues with the mission to put its customers first." The second half of this section pertains to an organization's ethics. The Ethics Resource Center discovered, quote, "In stronger ethical cultures, employees feel engaged and committed to the company. Ethics ought to rest at the core of your organization, as opposed to sitting on the periphery. When it comes to ethics, it must be established at the top, and it has to be demonstrated each and every day. Of prioritizing an ethical culture is a critical step to gaining the respect of customers, team members, and the community in pursuit of becoming a purpose-based organization. While the world has certainly witnessed enough ethical questions from the likes of Enron, WorldCom, Volkswagen, Tyco, etc., financially motivated misgivings are only half the problem. If the organization were to devise a standards of ethics regarding its financials and holds itself accountable to those standards, questions regarding what to do and what not to do become rather moot. Organizations would include standards that address our place in society, inclusive of doing good in the community. The standards of ethics in the organizations creates a publicly available document outlining what the organization stands for and how it operates ethically at all times. Once the standards have been developed, the next step is to set targets, which are incorporated into the purpose effect scorecard. The targets are not frivolous, nor are they marketing attempts to greenwash any social or sustainability responsibility either. The dashboard is a proactive action to outline how the organization will act ethically over the next fiscal year, regardless of it being for profit or not. The problem with the current state of CSR publications is that they merely summarize what the organization accomplished in the previous year. It does not go far enough. Many organizations use this document to justify its attempts at becoming ethical within the community and within society itself. Although the summary document is fine, to truly become ethical across all stakeholders, it behooves the organization to be proactive and to publicly set its targets. It should then be held accountable by society, community citizens, and shareholders alike, if applicable. In other words, there ought to be a day where organizations stop producing the CSR document and start establishing targets that are publicly available on the website and updated quarterly with results. As previously discussed, the outcomes can materialize in various rewards or penalties for senior team members. Final words of advice. While the purpose effect is unambiguous, it does take hard work, perseverance, and an ability between individuals and the organization to achieve the sweet spot. It is not impossible, but it can and will be difficult. Choices must be made. Decisions may be even be painful. And remember, your effort stands in close proximity to your will. After all, it was Pythagoras, Greek philosopher and mathematician, who once observed, quote, "ability and necessity dwell near each other." This book was written for both individuals and organizational leaders. Regardless of your role or position within or related in relation to the organization, you can put into action the ideas written, or you can let things lie dormant and hope for the best. And I sincerely wish you choose the former. During my interviews, many individuals provided thoughts and advice regarding the achievement of the sweet spot. It was not called the sweet spot when I started writing the book. But after 3 years of researching, interviewing, and thinking, the name came to me. I went back to a few of them to see what they thought about the intersection between personal, organizational, and role purpose. The feedback ranged between the expectations of team members, leaders, and the organization. Michael Pape advised that the quality of a relationship between a team member and the organization is at its best when each party cares as much about the success and well-being of the other as it does themselves. Perhaps it is the form of mutual altruism. Michael remarked, quote, "Under this symbiotic relationship bound by mutual trust and respect, each party will support one another as they respectively shape and evolve their purpose. That's the sweet spot. That's when the magic happens." Mana Ainoscu of Latespan Digital suggested a 360-degree view of the purpose is required to be successful. Quote, "To create alignment, you first have to fully understand the three purposes. I've worked with large and small businesses, and one thing is pervasive. Individuals may know their purpose, but not that an organization and that and vice versa. All three have to be very clear, and we have to be open to put in the work to fully understand. That understanding will not be magically given to us. We have to become good listeners of purpose if we want to find the sweet spot." Kelsey Trigg believed that the collective good of all team members was forever omnipresent, but that it was the leader's responsibility to help build a purposeful culture which leads to the sweet spot. Quote, "Create an inclusive environment where team members can show up with their whole selves, because it's the unique strengths we each have that tap into purpose." Brenda Rigney, now the nurse next door, wanted us to remember personal purpose comes first in the quest towards the sweet spot. Quote, "Teach your people to create a vision for their life and create authentic goals to mobilize their vision. Once your people create their own purpose, they will see how their personal goals link to your company's goals. Harvard Business Review editor and author Julia Kirby provided pragmatic advice for individuals on how to achieve the sweet spot. Quote, set goals for mastery of new skills and achieve them. Generously help others achieve their goals. Make friends with colleagues. Always take the high road and don't engage in office politics or intrigue. Learn to suffer fools. Herminia Ivera, professor of organizational behavior at INSEAD, INSEAD, caution that not everyone will be able to achieve the sense of purpose in their role unless they continue developing. I advise people to always take time for extracurricular activities and side projects that allow them to explore new avenues and different facets of themselves, and then let their experience with these be a guide for finding the sweet spot. Along the same lines, Megha Smith encouraged us to, quote, know thyself. Know your strengths, talents, passions, and almost as importantly, your challenges, weaknesses, and dislikes. If you are in tune with these, you're bound to find a role that brings you a sense of purpose because you likely do it well and you will likely love doing it. Box of Crayons, Michael Bungay Stanier, advised us to be comfortable with discomfort. The sweet spot is a less gentle overlap between three categories of purpose. The more the result of dynamic tension between three often contradictory demands. So the first is to understand where there will be tension, which means the more you're willing to sit at the discomfort of it, the better. There will be awkward conversations and moments of doubt, and that's just part of the deal of pursuing this. Tim Castell, associate professor at the UQ Business School within the University of Queensland, wants both team members and the organization to define its purpose, but to ensure both groups are solving important problems for society. This might seem trivial, but you have to really think through what your purpose is, both as an individual and as an organization. Too many take this for granted. The point that then follow is focus on solving important problems. I was recently talking with a colleague about a startup. They're building an app that you use when you make a bet with a friend. You register the bet, and then it forces your mate or you to pay up once it's settled. They've got investors lining up for miles to give them money, and it's for the most trivial problem imaginable, with an incredibly impoverished view of friendship or humanity. That's anti-purpose. Who wants to devote their careers to forcing friends to pay off bets? People and firms really need to think this through. Why do we exist? What is the problem that we're obsessed with? How will we make the world a better place? You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 cable FM in Burnaby, and you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, Instructor of Future Studies at Simon Fraser University. We're now going to take a short break and listen to a very important public service announcement.
With thousands of homeless animals entering SPCA shelters each year, pet overpopulation is a serious problem in BC. But it's one you can help prevent. Spay or neuter your companion animal today. From our perspective, every homeless animal on our streets or in our shelters is one too many. For more information on spaying and neutering initiatives, visit the BC SPCA website at www.spca.bc.ca.
Welcome back. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, 93.9 cable FM in Burnaby. And you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenari, professional futurist.
Welcome back. We're looking at the book, The Purpose Effect, Building Meaning in Yourself, Your Role, and Your Organization by Dan Pontefract. We're in the chapter, Sweet Spot Guidance. At the close of chapter 2, I promise to refrain from any further autobiographical examples. As this book comes to a close, I will deviate ever so slightly and end things with one final personal anecdote. I have had the good fortune of leading people and teams since 1998. I never sought out leadership roles. Rather, I sought out positions that would fuel my personal purpose, as long as the organization was in alignment with my values and wishes. Not surprisingly, I have learned that people come and go during your work life. Whether you are leading them directly or working with them indirectly, people changes are constant in an organization. Some people exit through painful layoff procedures. Others continue to seek out their personal purpose, taking on new roles elsewhere. Some decide to have a family and never come back to work. Some go back to school, perhaps heeding the advice to be constantly developing. There are others who choose to retire. There are those who are contingent workers, only there for a short period of time. One act that is relatively constant among anyone who leaves an organization is the goodbye email. I must be approaching 500 such emails. The pattern is eerily similar. It does not matter if they were working with me, employed on another team, or working for another firm outside of my own organization. The cadence and tone are relatively consistent. A fictitious example follows. Quote, "Today is my last day, and I'm moving on from, insert organizational name, to do whatever is next. For the past, insert number of years, I've enjoyed my time at, insert organizational name. We did the great things together, such as, insert a long line of accomplishments. But it is the people that I will miss. How lucky am I to have worked with you for these years. I'm going on to be, insert role of name or life adventure, but rest assured I will look back with fond memories of my time with you. Saying goodbye is the hardest thing to do because I won't be able to work with you at insert organizational name on a daily basis going forward. Please stay in touch. Here is my personal email address." Pasted below is an actual excerpt from one of the 500 emails I have received, and so to ensure anonymity, I remove the date, name, and anything identifiable. "Retirement. I'm ready! !! Work. I don't think I'll miss it. Co-workers, yes, I'm going to miss each and every one of you. With tears of sadness, I say thank you to all of you for being such a wonderful group of people to work with. It truly has been a pleasure. I wish for all of you a retirement, or better yet, a winning lottery ticket that comes sooner rather than later, so that you too can be part of the magical world where you get paid not to work." My point: I would like to see the lottery ticket this individual wrote about become the harmony that is found between one's life, their organization, and their role. The lottery ticket ought to become the sweet spot. We should not be gambling on a life without work. We must not be wagering on a role that delivers no meaning. We need to not parlay an organization's quest for profit and or power as an accepted practice. Ultimately, we cannot be living a life without purpose. We cannot be working for an organization devoid of purpose. Each of us deserves a life where we get paid to fulfill our purpose in an organization that consciously chooses to do good. An individual without personal purpose is rudderless against any body of water. Organizations lacking a higher purpose must not calcify into common wisdom. A team member bereft of role purpose is a needless calamity. Let us now deliver the sweet spot and commit to not souring it. We must not demur. Let us, both team members and the organization, impose a more purposeful hopeful society. Let us live and work with a life of purpose. Let us now affect the purpose effect. Faber S. Sue Quiesce Fortunae. So, that is the conclusion of the book, The Purpose Effect. And in the next show, we're going to start a new book that looks at the future of the corporation by looking through the minds of various CEOs that are interviewed to see where they see the future of their organizations going. The cover jacket of the book says, "Suppose you had the chance to travel around the globe to meet today's most powerful business leaders one-on-one. Suppose they talked frankly and openly to you about their business strategies, what it takes to be a leader, their vision of the future, and what keeps them up at night." Jeffrey E. Garton took that trip. Here's what he heard and what he didn't hear. The name of the book is The Mind of the CEO. The inside jacket says the following: "In these times of intense change, what role should our most important business leaders play in society? How do the CEOs of major corporations construe their jobs? How should they construe them?" These are the questions posed and answered in the book, The Mind of the CEO. Based on extensive and highly personal interviews with 40 CEOs around the world, people such as GE's Jack Welch, AOL's Stephen Case, Allen & Company's Nancy Peritzman, News Corp's Robert Murdoch, BP's Amoco's John Brown, Nikola's Jeremy Olia, and Toyota's Hiroshi Okuda, Jeffrey E. Garton takes us on a journey into the innermost thoughts of the world's corporate titans and provide a context for understanding the turmoil in today's boardrooms. His conclusions may surprise you. And we're going to be investigating this in the next show. And so I welcome you to join me next week for examination of the book, The Mind of the CEO, which also looks at the future of the corporation, why it's a perfect book for us to review on the show Future Talk. Have a nice week.
You have been listening to Future Talk on CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 cable FM in Burnaby. And Future Talk is a weekly show on important issues that affect you and your future. And this is Dr. Teneri, professional futurist, reminding you that if you're not willing to make the effort to invent your own future, then others will be only too happy to invent it for you. See you next week.
CJSF Radio, Simon Fraser, 90.1 FM.
Hi, my name is Lowell, and you're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, Simon Fraser Campus Radio.
Would you give me a beat?
CJSF 90.1 FM is the campus radio station for Simon Fraser University, located on Burnaby Mountain in BC, Canada. CJSF 90.1 FM, diverse, independent, yours. Check us out on SoundCloud or at cjsf.ca.
Hello and welcome to Viewpoints on this week's show. Over 700 students from the Louis Riel School Division take learning